I remember thinking that earlier, but what was I thinking of? Do I die when I get to the train's control area and continue my journey on the other side in death? Is that what I was thinking of? I'm like a tiny child crawling over the floor. Come to me, little fellow, says the train. We were looking for something, but I can't recall exactly what it...
They looked through the great cavern, searching, then climbed steps to the gallery, giving access to the station's accommodation and storage sections. Balveda stood at the edge of the broad terrace which ran round the cavern, midway between floor and roof. Yalson watched the culture agent while Hawser opened the doors to the accommodation section. Balveda looked out over the broad cavern, slender hands resting on the guardrail. The topmost rail was level with Balveda's shoulders, waist level on the people who had built the command system. Near where Balveda stood, a long gantry led out over the cavern, suspended on wires from the roof, and leading to the terrace on the other side, where a narrow, brightly lit tunnel led into the rock. Balveda looked down the length of the narrow gantry at the distant tunnel mouth. Yalson wondered if the culture woman was thinking of making a run for it, but knew she wasn't, and wondered then whether perhaps she only wanted Balveda to try so she could shoot her, just to be rid of her. Balveda looked away from the narrow gantry, and Hawser swung open the doors to the accommodation section. Zugzal flexed his shoulders. The wires moved a little, sliding and bunching. The human they had left to guard him looked tired, perhaps even sleepy. But Zugzal couldn't believe the others would stay away for very long. He couldn't afford to do too much now in case the changer came back and noticed how the wires had moved. Anyway, though it was far from being the most interesting way things could fall, there was apparently a good chance that the humans would be unable to find the supposedly sentient computing device they were all looking for. In that case, perhaps the best course of action would be no action. He would let the little ones take him back to their ship. Probably the one called Hawser intended to ransom him. This had struck Zugzal as the most likely explanation for being kept alive. The fleet might pay for the return of a warrior, though Zugzal's family were officially barred from doing so, and anyway were not rich. He could not decide whether he wanted to live and perhaps redeem the shame of being caught and paid for by future exploits, or to do all he could either to escape or to die. Action appealed to him most. It was the warrior's creed. When in doubt, do. The old human got up from the pallet and walked around. He came close enough to Zugzal to be able to inspect the wires, but gave them only a perfunctory glance. Zugzal looked at the laser gun the human carried. His great hands, tied together behind his back, opened and closed slowly, without him thinking about it. Wubslin came to the control deck in the nose of the train. He took his helmet off and put it on the console. He made sure it wasn't touching any controls, just covering a few small, unlit panels. He stood in the middle of the deck, looking round with wide, fascinated eyes. The train hummed under his feet. Dials and meters, screens and panels indicated the train's readiness. He cast his eyes over the controls, set in front of two huge seats which faced over the front console toward the armoured glass which formed part of the train's steeply sloping nose. The tunnel in front was dark, only a few small lights burning on its side walls. 50 meters in front, a complex assembly of points led the tracks into two tunnels. One route went dead ahead, where Wubslin could see the rear of the train in front. The other tunnel curved, avoiding the repair and maintenance cavern and giving a through route to the next station. Wubslin touched the glass, stretching his arm out over the control console to feel the cold, smooth surface. He grinned to himself. Glass, not a view screen. He preferred that. The designers had had holographic screens and superconductors and magnetic levitation. They had used all of them in the transit tubes. But for their main work, they had not been ashamed to stick to the apparently cruder but more damage-tolerant technology. So the train had armoured glass, and it ran on metal tracks. Wubslin rubbed his hands together slowly and gazed round the many instruments and controls. Nice, he breathed. He wondered if he could work out which controls opened the locked doors in the reactor car. Quernall reached the control deck. It was undamaged. From floor level, the deck was metal seat stems, overhanging control panels and bright ceiling lights. He hauled himself over the floor, racked with pain, muttering to himself, trying to remember why he had come all this way. He rested his face on the cold floor of the deck. The train hummed at him, vibrating beneath his face.